Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking in the fifth session of John the Baptist TV, which actually has nothing to do with the website, but has to do with a blog that's on the website where people made comments about an article on News with Views. And that article was Clergy Response Team. It's on there. It's one of the early articles I wrote there, and I mentioned Romans 13. And what a lot of people think Romans 13 has to do with, you know, you have to obey the government no matter what. And if you owe Caesar, you should pay Caesar. We're not talking about rebellion. And that's true. And Jesus said that. If you owe the tally of bricks, you pay the tally of bricks. If you owe him your service, you give him your service. You keep your contracts. Otherwise, you're bearing false witness. But why are you applying to him, praying to him for your daily bread? Benefits. Welfare. And should you be eating of his welfare system at all? Because his welfare system is dependent upon men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other. And Jesus said we were not to be that way like the other nations. Pretty clear. Direct instructions from the king. If you're not going to listen to him, then you're not going to follow him. And if you're not going to follow him, then you're not really a Christian. But anyway, so we're down in show number 5. And somebody for Jesus, number for Jesus, he identifies himself as that member. He says yay and amen to the guy, I guess, assuming before. But he says, but many unfortunately believe those scriptures in Romans 13 is speaking of the worldly government. When even the Lord allows us the freedom to choose to either follow him or not, according to what took place with those that chose not to walk with him anymore, written about in John chapter 6, why would we be in bondage to follow the government of the world in the way that is saying when we are not to be bound to men, but bound to follow Jesus instead? Well, he doesn't say much else, so I'm not sure all of where he's going. But yeah, why are you again entangled again in the elements of the world? They ask that. Why should we be entangled in the elements of the world? And the word there for world in the Greek is the constitutional order or system of government. I'm just reading the definition right out of the concordance. That particular word that is translated into world means constitutional order and system of government. So why are you applying to men who exercise authority to obtain benefits that they're only going to provide for you by taking away from your neighbor? Constant theme here in preaching the kingdom. I don't know how you can use it any other way. The next comment that have here is from somebody by the name of Stefan in what appears to be South Carolina. And he says, excellent and timely post, Desi, who originally posted the News with Views article. He says, I read News with Views a lot and enjoy the commentaries of both Chuck Baldwin and Greg Williams. I had the opportunity to meet Greg up in West Virginia. Okay, I don't even remember. I don't know him. I met a lot of people on that tour back in 2009 and look forward to reading his work. Both of these columnists hit the nail right on the head, he says, and spells it out very clear. It really too bad certain people just reject anything not in their own world view of understanding. Oh well, he says, I won't shed a tear for them and will continue to witness his truth, meaning Christ's truth, to those who have ears to hear. Yeah, I was trying to remember who Stefan is. But anyway, Mike G. goes on to say the apostles lived under the Caesars. Well, actually, that's not true. They lived in Rome, but they were not of Rome. They lived under Caesar, but not of Caesar. Very important. Jesus said you are to live in the world, but not of the world. And when he used the word world there, he used the word meaning constitutional order or system of government. So they were not to live of the government. And this was the conflict between Christianity and the world. Because they eventually said everybody had to depend upon their social welfare system. Rome went from a republic to a socialist state and to an empire. And Christ was taking people back from a socialist state to a free society, an intentional society that operated by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. He says there is not one statement by them speaking evil of him, meaning Caesar. Yeshua called Herod a fox one time, which is a very interesting. Foxes have their dens, and then he called Herod a fox, that fox. But I will be completed shortly. In other words, he was talking about Herod Antipas, who was not the king in Jerusalem, and Jesus was not yet king in Jerusalem. He was king since birth. But when he entered Jerusalem and they hailed him as the highest son of David, he became the king and he started doing the work of the king, like firing the money changers. So he did end up having a place to sleep, but he did not sleep in that temple because that temple was defiled because it was using the system of Corban set up by Herod the Great, which made the word of God to none effect. So he went out and slept in the Garden of Gethsemane because he wanted you to establish the system of Corban like Moses that operated with free will offerings. Simple as that. Completely outside of the realm of most modern Christian thinking, but very clear over and over again, talks about it in the Bible. But you just skip over those things. You don't know what Corban is. And I show you, Corban was in Rome. Corban was in Israel. Corban is in the Quran. Corban was in the Old Testament. Corban was a sacrifice that helped take care of the needy of society through the Levite and through the church. Simple as that. In private religion, not a government religion that forced the contributions of the people. Anyway, you get the picture? Because that's what he asked. Get the picture? They were being persecuted and killed, yet no evil speaking. I haven't done any evil speaking. He did say it better to obey God rather than man. These are the ones that did contrary to the decrees of Caesar. Anyway, he says, sounds like they were taught to deny self and pray for their enemies. And of course we are. You know, I don't blame the government for its exercising authority. And again, in the last show, I talked about the fact that the leaders like Saul, what I refer to as the Saul syndrome. You give power to a man to make decisions for you. Lots and lots of decisions for you and lots of other people. He will be tempted to exercise authority one over another. He will abuse that authority. David did. Saul did. Rehoboam did. The only one who didn't was Jesus Christ. But he was tempted to turn men into bread. Turn the stones of the altar into a profit system for himself. I mean, you just go out and look at the churches today. You're giving them power over what you think, and they're becoming rich. There's a lot of money to be made in ear tickling and playing the harlot. We're not doing that here. We're going to smack you over the head with the truth. Yeah, we'll go back to like Ecclesiastes 10:20. It says, curse not the king, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, curse not the rich. There goes socialism. Socialism always usually begins with saying, let's take away from the rich and give to the poor. But then it ends up taking away from the middle class and giving to the poor, and the rich find a way around it. But you think the rich owe you welfare. They should share with you. They should help you. But you don't have any right. If they became rich, honestly, they have a right to their wealth. If they want to make points with God, they should share it. They want to make points with you, they should share it. But if you want to make points with God, you better not be caught forcing them to share it with you, because that's still coveting. So anyway, and it goes on and says, for the bird of the air shall carry the voice of that which hath wings, and shall tell the matter. That's the reason why they give an Ecclesiastes. But we know we're supposed to pray for our enemies, and certainly pray for the governments. They pray that they're not heavily tempted by the power you've given them. But they have that power because you've been slothful in the ways of Christ. If you were doing what the ways of Christ is, nobody would be forcing the contributions of anybody else. And I encourage you to go to preparingyou.com and search the words Christian conflict and read that article. But anyway, Stephen goes on to say, the fellow from South Carolina, I guess it's South Carolina, SC, no one is saying to stop praying for the enemies of his church. And as for what the Lord Jesus and his apostles said about them, that was recorded and we do not know. But anyway, it was, I think he wanted to say that was not recorded and we do not know. But anyway, the fact is, I'm sure they weren't going around cursing them. It wouldn't have been in the nature of the apostles. And my article doesn't curse them. My article and the book, The Higher Liberty, is you know, it's as many as I love, I also rebuke them. That's what my article is rebuking you. It is rebuking you. I won't read the statement here. But I'll read down here. I've got it highlighted. I mean, think about it. What if the believers listened to King George? And then this is commonly people bring this up. The situation with King George is different. King George was usurping authority that was not his. We didn't rebel against the king. He rebelled against the contract because there were colonial charters. And I, in the book, Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions, we point out that this was the defense Americans were using, that they were already free. At least 30% of Americans were already freemen, and they owned their own land, and you couldn't impose these taxes on them. And that was even argued in Parliament by members of Parliament, that the king could not enforce some of these taxes in America like he could do anywhere else in the kingdom, because America was different, because we approached it much, but you don't know that history, so you're going to have to go read the book in order to find out. But anyway, bottom line, this fellow says, we do not follow unrighteous government decrees, and obviously we don't have to. But you have to be very careful here in what you think is unrighteous. I hear people all the time saying the government is usurping the power, and they're taking power, and they're doing this and doing that, and they're really not. You have lost your rights or access to your rights because you have prayed for the benefits of those governments. But again, he goes on to say the two articles were extremely accurate in their message, and he's referring both to mine and Chuck Baldwin's. And I have some problem with Chuck Baldwin's, although I don't have a problem with the individual. I'm not picking on him. But unless your church is becoming and working daily, diligently, to become the entire social welfare of your congregation, you're not following Christ. You're not doing what the early church was doing. That's what you need to be doing. You can't opt out of the system yet, but there will come a day you can, and you need to be prepared for that, because the system will collapse whether you opt out or not. It won't be there, and the handwriting is on the wall, so you better figure it out. But anyway, this Mike G goes on to say, also, in the Old Testament, the Hebrews were sent into slavery for their idolatry and rebellion against God. Well, that's why people are in slavery today, is because most of these churches are actually idolatrous churches. They bow down and serve these systems of Corban, social welfare, that make the Word of God to none effect, which is idolatry. They eat meat with blood in it. They eat the sacrifices that are given to these systems, often by force and sometimes unrighteously by force, and therefore there's still blood in those sacrifices. And we cover that in the last show. So if you didn't hear the last show, you need to get a copy of that. He goes on to say, through his prophets, that their time of slavery was increased, for their treatment under their time of slavery became more cruel when, and he puts in all caps, when they did not submit to God's judgment upon them, but complained and fought against the rulers of the country that had enslaved them. Well, the people have enslaved themselves because they make these choices to follow these systems of Corbyn, these socialist systems of Corbyn. They go into bondage. This is the theme. This is what they will end up weak as a people. They will be conquered. They will go into bondage. They were enslaved under these harsh rulers who will take and take and take and take and take and bankrupt their systems and take their sons and take their daughters. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. You knew that from the beginning. But because they had already rejected God and they could not see His ways of righteousness. God has not changed. He says, look at the slavery of the people under in all the nations of the world. Exactly. Even America, the people are enslaved to the government and to sin. The only way to freedom from enslavement is submission to God and repentance. So, that's what we talk about. So, I'm really not sure where the Mike G guy is going. The words sound right at times. Not rebelling against the ruling authority. And we don't. We don't advise anybody to rebel against the ruling authorities. We're trying to get you to conform to Christ, which is what John the Baptist was doing, trying to get you to conform to the ways of God, when he said, if you have two coats, share. Get the baptism of John the Baptist instead of the baptism of Herod. Don't sign up for that system. Establish God's system that operates with free will offerings. Really simple stuff. Anyway, I'm not sure how far we can take this. For Jesus goes on to say, Mike, I don't think anybody is saying that we do not have to ever obey the laws of the world at all either, but are saying those verses are not the ones that tell us to do so. Not as I still see it anyway. So anyway, I think it was for Jesus, if I get it right, that was not interpreting Romans 13 correctly because he was not putting it in the context of the fact that rulers are established to punish those who reject God. And they're often established by those who reject God, just as Israel elected to have a king because they had already rejected God. And so that's the way that works. And they rejected God. They ended up with the king. He ended up taking and taking and taking. He ended up with, you kind of backtracked with David. And one of the interesting stories about David is the fact that David instituted a draft. He sent his officers out to number the people so that they could draft them quickly and put military people in the field quickly. And there was a war broke out over the draft. I think 20,000 people died in this war. And finally, David repents and says that he sinned against God and man. And that was over the draft. Well, all these nations have drafts now. As a matter of fact, they not only can draft you into the military, they can draft you into civilian work programs. And you are in civilian work programs. But you're in them because you've signed up, because you applied to them for benefits. And now it's to the point where you can't even survive, for the most case, without applying to those benefits. You say, well, I haven't applied for any benefits, I've just been working. Well, when you apply for a social security number, that's application for the benefit. You're saying, I want that benefit, I want that number so I can go out and work, yes, but I'm signing up for this system. Fact is, the law is you don't have to have that number and you can live and work in the United States. But who's going to hire you? Nobody. And now you can't even get a driver's license in most states. You can't get a state ID, so therefore you can't get on airplanes. You actually can, and we do it, but I'm not going to guarantee that you can do it. It's one of those Jedi things, because you never know who you're going to get. And what people have to realize is that they are in bondage, like the one fellow was saying. They've returned to the bondage of Egypt, even though God said never to go back there. You've returned there because your churches are not really preaching the gospel of love for one another. They're saying that, yeah, you can love one another, but it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods just apply to men who exercise authority and they will give you benefits. You're not supposed to be doing that. Stephan goes on to say here, it should be clarified, no one is calling for civil disobedience in these articles. Yes, there are degrees of slavery that exist today, especially economic slavery, which the government itself created in order to control them, which I guess is the people. But the reality is the people have created it. The people, through their apathy, the slothful, should be under tribute. And tribute is an economic disaster, always. It always ends in disaster in a society. Can we agree that, he says, Romans 13 doesn't mean blind acceptance of all things the government decrees? Or no? He goes on to say, here's a scenario. When the government comes after your Bibles, after you for praying and for fellowshipping and some of your churches, and come for your churches, are some of you just going to roll over and play dead and accept the government's wishes, or are you going to refuse? When the government tells you you have to accept a mark in order to participate in the economy, are you going to say yes, because Romans 13 kicks in and God allowed this government in power for our benefit? Well, the reality is that's all already happened. You already have to get the mark, the number of the beast, to work in the system. We've already just explained that. You've got to go get numbered. You got to get your children numbered if you want to deduct them. You've got to get yourself numbered if you want to work in any kind of employment. I mean, technically, you don't have to. We've shown the case in Texas where somebody was fired because he didn't have a Social Security number and they kept worrying that they were going to get into trouble. They had already hired him, and they fired him because he wouldn't get the number. And the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission took them to court for wrongful firing, because you can't fire a man because he doesn't have a Social Security number. You just can't do it. Now, you can't even do it in the military. I can show you a case that the military discharged a guy because he wouldn't use a Social Security number when he was in the military, because they moved, they had the military number, and they wanted to change all the military numbers over to the Social Security number, and he didn't want to do that because he considered it the mark of the beast, and they discharged him. And he took him to court. I know the attorney. I know the guy. And he won. You can't do it. It's a voluntary system, but once you volunteer, it's not voluntary anymore. It's irrevocable, so to speak. There are ways to get out of the system, but I don't recommend that. I recommend that you turn around, repent, and start going back to the system of Christ. And if I see you doing that, I'll tell you the rest. if you're not gonna do that, there's no reason to tell you. You just get yourself into trouble and your family and everything else, and you'll become a burden on society. You're just a rebel at heart. I want to see people repent, turn around, and go back to the ways of Christ, taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. And that doesn't mean the indolent and the drunk and the alcoholic and the guys who don't want to shape up and the immoral. It doesn't mean them. It means those who want to seek the righteousness of Christ. So anyway, as far as coming for your Bibles, they've already got your mind on that, because people read the Bible and they don't even know what it says. They've done it very cleverly through sophistry, an old tool of the devil. And so they've already done that. And as far as your churches, they come to take your church, he says. Chances are your churches are 501c3 corporations of the state. They are entities of the state. They belong to the state. They're highly regulated according to... They didn't have to file those documents, but they chose to file those documents. The law says you don't have to. Their documents say you don't have to, but they went and did it anyway. So it's not a matter of them, barging in the front door with guns. I should tell you a story about... I'll do that when we come back from the break. A story of a church in Nebraska where they finally got it. They finally figured out, where the problem was. Or at least part of the problem. They didn't find the whole problem, because they still weren't taking care of the welfare of one another through faith, hope, and charity. And that's really where the problem is. But they saw how the state got so much control over their church. And we'll tell you about that when we come back after the break. So be right back.
Things things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our life seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and I said I'd tell you the story of the Nebraska church, and I met this pastor and talked to him, and I had a number of correspondence with him and some of the other pastors who were helping him at one time or another. And what it was they were trying to homeschool their kids in a Baptist church, and Nebraska law started saying, oh, it had to be a state-certified teacher, and they did this, and they were jumping through all the hoops, and they thought they were finally going to, you know, they're taking to court and doing everything right so they could teach their kids at the church. And they went into the court, and they were waiting, and they were informed by an informant of that there were a whole bunch of state troopers in the back room, and they were going to arrest all the parents and take the children to children's services if they didn't sign an agreement to abide by the ruling of the judge, which, of course, is coercion, threat, duress, and coercion, but that's another whole story. But the reality was that's what they were going to do. And they found out about it, so they secretly said, well, okay, all the mothers take the kids to the bathroom before the court begins. And they didn't take them to the bathroom. They stuck them out a back door. They jumped in their cars, and some of them fled the state. And this is going on in America, folks. You know, this years and years ago, and worse things have happened. But anyway, the men went into court. The court was upset that they didn't bring in the mothers and the children, so they couldn't take them, because this would be great leverage, taking the kids away and putting them in children's services and putting all the parents in jail. So they put the men in jail, and they put APBs out for all the mothers, and they were stopping women on the turnpike that had a kid in the car. It didn't even have anything to do with the church, but they wanted these kids, and they padlocked the church and everything. And of course, the pastor's claiming constitutional rights and freedom of religion and all this stuff. And there's a scene where he ends up, the judge actually comes down and wants to pray with him and has him read this document. And I've got the story up somewhere on one of our websites. But the guy starts to read the document, and it's, you know, the such and such Baptist Church, you know, the state of Nebraska and such Baptist Church, Inc., I-N-C. Incorporated. And he says, stop, let's pray, you know, kind of thing. And the guy started looking at the document and realized that when I incorporated the church, I became an entity of the state. And we show in the law that when you incorporate under the state, all other previous incorporation is null and void, as if it never happened. That's the law. So when you incorporate your church, you're an entity of the state. You're not an entity of Christ. You are now of the world, not just in the world. The church is to be in the world, but not of the world. Christ said this over and over again. And the fact is, also, the priests or pastors or reverends or whatever you want, the clergy of the church, who are supposed to be taking care of the daily ministration and rightly dividing the bread from house to house through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, they need to be in the world, but not of the world too. They can't be a part of the system of Corbin of the world. They have to be only a part of the system of the Corbin of Christ. Now, the congregation needs to be working in that direction, striving daily, seeking that way. There is no Pentecost yet, but there will come a day where there will be a Pentecost, another Exodus. And you need to get ready for that. And you're not going to get ready for that just listening to radio programs. You're not going to get ready from that just being entertained by articles or reading books. You have to gather together. You have to return to the ways of Christ. You personally. And seek as many other people as you can find who are willing to go that way. And that will be a difficult thing. And it's a very simple pattern. Tens, hundreds, and thousands. Tens, hundreds, fifties, thousands. However you want to make it. But congregations of 10 connected with others as a matter of record so that you know who your neighbor is. Because you can't help them unless you know who they are and what their needs are. You know, I just talked about that. Somebody was talking about somebody in their congregation needing help, but it's not a real local guy. He's actually, some of our congregations are rather spread out because so many of you have gone into the apostate church and you're not really seeking the kingdom. So, and we don't care what religion you say you belong to. You know, we care. We want to see you doing what Christ said. We want to see you doers of the word. And then we will gather with you. And you can gather with us. It's a free assembly. It's not a corporation. The congregation is a free assembly. You have the right to free assembly. You have the right to take care of one another. That's freedom of religion. Now, if you go and incorporate, that's not a free religion anymore. That's a regulated industry. You see, and it's not the fact, though, that you become 501c3 is the problem. Fact is, you've abandoned Christ and the ways of Christ, and you're not taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. Some of you are barely supplementing the failing of the system. But as the system fails more and more, you'll get more and more opportunity. So anyway, we have another member. He actually puts his name there, but I won't mention it. He says, I see there can be extreme views on both sides of the issue relating to this topic. That is not suggesting that the views expressed here are extreme. What I have observed in many in the USA are actively in training to resist the New World Order and coming world government by arming themselves and using force. This is extreme. He goes on to say, on the other hand, do we blanketly submit to our government when martial law is declared and totalitarian laws are acted upon, which no doubt is coming soon? He says, I know the view of most is to submit to all government authorities, our leaders who God has placed over us. But has God placed corrupt dictatorship governments over us in every instance? The world has many countries with many dictatorships. And of course, remember what I said about democracy, what Plato said about democracy, that they all fail. They all end up in tyranny. What a democracy is that everybody gets to play the little tyrant. That's what it is. Most American forefathers, what we call our American forefathers, were against democracy. They opposed democracy because democracy is the dictatorship of the mob. They talked about a republic, which is not an indirect democracy, but a separate form of government, and you'll have to go listen to the shows on that or read the articles on that. He says, look, suppose you were a German soldier during World War II. Your job is to round up the Jews for extermination. Do you submit to your authorities and do your job well? Of course, thousands of such scenarios can be given, like the one above. Do you submit or do you say no? The fact is, most of the German soldiers who were rounding up Jews did not know they were going to concentration camps. They did not know that they were going, if, you know, whatever extermination took place. The gypsies were rounded up. Christians were rounded up. Lots of people were rounded up. And everybody is, well, that's my job. They say that he's a dissident. They say that he's done wrong. And they weren't all these ogres, you know, like you see in the movies. They're just guys doing their job. Now, there were ogres that abused the power in prisons, but you can find that in modern prisons right today. You don't have to go to Nazi Germany. Wherever you centralize power in the hands of a few over others, you're going to get abuses. It's just nature. They've done psychological studies of it where they had people that they put them in white robes and all this stuff with clipboards and everything, and they just created this mock situation where you had this supposed power. And they saw that people started to take that power. It started to take over their actions, and they started doing things they would not normally do. power corrupts. Write it down. And if you give power to government, and you do that through sloth, if you won't take care of the needy of your society yourself through faith, hope, and charity, and I don't mean, you know, give to the food bank. I mean responsible charity. Help everybody in your congregation not depend on Social Security. Help everybody in your congregation not depend on unemployment. Help everybody in your congregation not depend on food stamps. I don't care if you start community gardens or what. Start doing it for yourself as a matter of a religious practice, and you will be better off for it in the long run. It will change you, just like socialism has changed the thinking of Americans and the people of the world. It will change you back. Responsible charity is the key to following in the ways of Christ. New Jerusalem says, I personally do not say submit to government ruling authorities in very large caps. I said to submit to God and repent. How can this be translated into rebelling or submitting to the government ruling? Well, it could be. Depends on how you're doing it. And there's so many different scenarios. We can't go into all of them. But anyway, I'm just now getting to page 2 of their comments here. We're already quite a ways along in this series. And he gets into 1 Peter 2:18. And he talks about slaves, submit yourselves to your masters. And that's kind of what he's talking about. And that's true. And again, I pointed out that some of these things were written about the time that people were actually going around and setting Christians on fire and killing them. Literally by the thousands. And it was because of the hate and the animosity. And you're going to get that. If you start developing your own social welfare system, and I say start because it's going to take quite a bit to do that, to wean yourself off these bankrupt systems that are cursing your children. And you're saying, yeah, but everybody else is on it. Everybody else is getting it. I paid into it. These are all excuses why not to go the ways of Christ. But you still have to pay your tally of bricks. The Israelites still had to pay their tally of bricks. But they started gleaning in the field at night for their straw, their benefit. That's what was going on there. They had to do double duty. They had been slothful for 100 years, 400 years. And now they were going to have to do double duty. And you're going to have to do double duty. It's not going to be easy. But if you go that way, God will help you out. But you got to take those steps. You know, you step out on the water and you may sink. But Christ will raise you up. It takes some faith, but it starts with that first step. Gather together. Start helping one another. Start, you know, working with us to find more people who will come together. We have people together. We have a lot of people on the email networks that are sitting there waiting to see something, and they're not seeing it. And the reason they're not seeing it is we're not telling them what's going on, because they don't come. They don't come and gather. They don't say, I want to help. And so we figure, well, why tell them anything? We're just going to rebuke them. You know, like the guy asked, should we have obeyed King George? Should we still be singing, you know, God Save the King? Again, that was a different situation. King George was usurping authority. Most of what the government does today, most, is not usurpation. You have gone under their authority. Because you have called them your father, you've looked to them for benefits, and you have to pay the price. And now they have the right to choose because you gave them the responsibility. William O. Douglas, who was a Supreme Court justice, I've got his book here on the shelf, and I don't really think he was a great guy or anything, but he understood the law. He says, we must realize that today's establishment is the new George III. It is George III. You don't have to worry about going back to George III. You have the new, the establishment. And he's talking the bureaucracy is the new George III. And it doesn't change no matter who you elect. You still have the same bureaucracy. And you're really being ruled by regulations now. You're not even being ruled by law. But you're under those regulations because you're eating at the table of the king. And he can tell you which fork to use and which spoon to use and how much soup you get. Because you're eating at his table. And his table is a snare. He's baited the hook well. And you have bitten the hook by swearing and applying under penalty of perjury. That's the way it works. It's always worked that way. Cain did it. Lamech did it. Nimrod did it. Pharaoh did it. You've gone under that authority. The problem is that system is going to fail, and you're not ready. Everybody's going to be set free when the system completely collapses and fails, and the wolves show up. Everybody's going to be free, but everybody's not going to survive freedom. But I don't want to preach survivalism. I'm preaching the service of one to another, loving one another, because that is the key to survival, and that's the only key. So anyway, he says also on taxes, this one fellow says, many so-called taxes are in reality unlawful, so therefore they are not really owed. Don't listen to that stuff. Most of those taxes are owed. You are under tribute. The people are misconstruing the 861 argument. Completely bogus. Completely bogus. We can go into that for you Americans who want to know why that's bogus. You know, join the network. We'll explain it to you. The fact is that you owe the tax. Pay the tax. That's our... But what are you going to do when the system fails? Be friends with the unrighteous mammon. It's going to fail. Pay the tax. But seek the kingdom and its righteousness. And that's what you should be doing in your churches, not just going there because I really like the singing there. I really like the music. I love the worship services because I feel so good afterwards. If those are the kinds of things that you're saying after church, watch out. That's not, you know, thieves and robbers have fellowship. That's not enough. The covetous have fellowship. That's not enough. They glad hand each other and pat each other on the back. That's not enough. That isn't Christ. So anyway, he goes on to say, in law, there is a huge difference between legal and lawful. There is. Legal has to do with binding. Law has to do with what's just, right, and fair. But what is binding is now just, right, and fair because you are bound. You can go read our articles on law versus legal, which is on the website at hisholychurch.org. And the books and all that stuff, it's all there. He goes on to say, we must dig deep for fresh water. We must peel away the layers of deception. I can't disagree with that. There are quotes here. Oh, he's quoting somebody else's scenario. And he says, this is exactly what the early church did. But then again, I guess they had faith. His scenario, he says, here's a scenario. When the government comes after your Bibles, after your you for praying, for fellowship. That was that we read this earlier. He says, are you going to refuse? And he says, that's what the early church did. Well, actually, they weren't coming after their Bibles. They didn't have Bibles. Bible didn't come along till Eusebius, and Constantine hired him to write it. Not write it, but, you know, accumulate the books that are in it. What was the church really doing then? Well, it's not what I see churches doing today. Again, it's back to that social welfare. They've already come for your morality. They've already enticed you to be covetous of one another. We aren't moving in the Spirit of Christ, and we need to be full of forgiveness and full of love for one another and full of actual deeds of doing and caring for one another. And the pastors who go around telling you you're saved because you think a thought, they're doing you a disservice. Because, you know, they talk about believing in Jesus. Well, you got to know the real Jesus, what he was really saying. Because he was harsh with the foolish virgins, the ones who were virgins. They didn't participate in the Parthenos, which is one of the temples, the virgin temple. They didn't apply for those benefits. They were clean, escaped. But they just danced around. They just took care of themselves. They didn't help one another. And when they ran out of funds, when they ran out of energy, when they became old or whatever, and I see people doing this. They're young, they're virile, and I'm not going to be a part of the system and all this stuff. But they're not being a part of the system of Christ. So then when they need help, what are we supposed to do when they need help? According to Jesus, he slams the door in their face and they just keep knocking and he won't answer. Because they did not live their life for others. They just wanted to live their own life. And you see this commonly amongst people who are in the freedom movement or whatever you want to call it. They want to live their own life. They don't want somebody else telling them what to do. Well, in the church, we're not going to tell you what to do, but I can tell you what you should be doing. And you just have to decide whether you want to do it. You see, liberty is the end result of accepting your responsibility to God and your fellow man. You need to be organized if you're going to take care of the needy of a society. You know, when I was raising my kids, I had six kids. I don't know how many times I counted to six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Are they all here? Yeah, I got them all. You know, you have to watch six kids. You go to town or something. You know, where are they all, you know? And that's as organized as I got. But in reality, in a congregation of 10 families, that pastor's got to count to 10 every day. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I got them all. And if he is in congregation with 9 other ministers, those ministers need to be counted every day too by their minister. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And what they're doing is, everybody okay? Are everybody here and accounted for? It's not, you know, you have to have your muster rolls. You know, I wrote an article on IBT, Indianapolis Baptist Temple. Very interesting article, in my opinion, humbly say it, that they were trying to be this free church. They were trying to morph themselves into anything they wanted to be. And you can't do that. You have to conform to certain lawful practices. And they had a really poor lawyer who I knew, lived in the same town as my own father, who was a lawyer. And he did not understand how the law works, very common amongst lawyers. And the amazing thing is the judge they had, a woman judge, told them what the problem was. And I tried to show them, and they just did not want to hear it. And at least at that time, they maybe do now, but the fact is, we need to understand how this works. You know, Jesus says, he was hard on the ones, he says, "Get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity." And they thought they were Christians. They thought they were doing great things in the name. They're probably telling them about all their altar calls. Oh, we had 10,000 people come up to the altar and say that they loved Jesus. And they were all saved that day. And he says, "Get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity." Iniquity. Why does he say that? Because they pray to benefactors who exercise authority one over the other for their daily bread. They do call men of earth their father in word and deed, taking those men's, the patronus, remember, for those of you who haven't heard this yet, at the time Jesus said, "Call no man on earth father," the emperor of Rome was called patronus, our father. And all the senators of Rome were called patri. And in the Greek text, we see that word patri. Call no man patri. Everybody in the crowd knew exactly who he was talking about. You, since you don't know the history of the time and the language of the time, and you've been depending on ministers who have been deceived in their seminaries, which might as well be called cemeteries, you don't know that. But you hear it here. Because we'll tell you that, and we'll tell you a lot more. This happens to be, actually it was yesterday, I think. No, it's today. I sent it out a notice on the Google Groups. Send out just a little highlight that on this day in history, Patrick Henry made his famous call for American independence from Britain, supposedly. "Give me liberty or give me death" speech. Many of you have heard of that. It was 1775. And it was in a political convention. He actually did it twice. He gave it in the front of the Virginia Assembly as well as the Colonial Assembly. And what most people don't know is that why he wrote that. You know, I preface this little story with the modern Americans have kind of watered down what was going on back then, the same as people have watered down what was going on with Christ. This is a big thing to become a Christian. You get the baptism of Jesus Christ, you couldn't get social welfare anymore from the government of Rome or the government of Judea. You had to get your social welfare from the church. That's what it was. Now, there were a lot of people who supported the church and liked what it was doing and helped them out, but they didn't actually get the baptism because that meant you had to start depending on faith, hope, and charity. You were cast out of one system if you entered that system. And they had to keep records on who was in those systems. By the time Constantine came along, There were over 1,200 known bishops that were known to the emperor so that he could actually write them letters and invite them to his council. They were well recorded. Only 300 showed up, and many of them left. Before it was over, the next conference they only had 150 bishops show up. And most of those weren't real Christian bishops. So anyway, about this give me liberty or give me death speech, why did he make it? What inspired him to make it? You know, Patrick Henry is known as kind of the barefoot lawyer. I mean, he rode into Culpeper, Virginia on a horse. And there was a man being flogged in the public square. He'd already been thrown into a pit, which they used for a prison. They just dug this big straight hole and they throw you in and you can't get out. They didn't build the jail walls. They just threw you in the pit. And somebody else brought you by food and stuff like this. But they did. They threw him in the pit. What was this heinous crime of this individual preacher? He refused to get a license to preach, to be a minister. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't apply to be a preacher. And so they threw him into this pit. And then he wouldn't repent. And so they were going to flog him and let him go. The problem is the flogging was so severe, he died from his wounds. So he was literally flogged to death. Patrick was moved by the faith of such a man who endured agony and death to maintain a fundamental right. And that's why I say Americans have watered down what most of them, they don't even teach it anymore, what that speech was. There was a time in school where you were expected to memorize the whole speech. Now most kids don't even know that it was made, and almost nobody knows why he made that speech. They've heard of give me liberty or give me death, but they've kind of watered it down until it's give me liberty or give me lunch. If you give me lunch, I won't bother you about liberty anymore. In other words, give me benefits, and I'll waive my right to liberty under God. Problem is, when you do that, you forget how to make lunch for yourself. You become weak as a society. And I'll read you a little bit from that speech. It is natural to man to indulge in the illusion of hope. We are apt to shut our eyes against painful truth and listen to the song of that siren till she transforms us into beasts. And we are beasts if we are eating meat with blood in it, taking benefits that have been extracted by force and not by righteousness. We are beasts. We are dictators. When we insist to have free education and threaten to take away the homes of our neighbors if they don't pay for our child's education, which is the standard operating procedure in America today, right in full sight of people claiming to be Christian, you are the beast. Homeschool, home health, home welfare, through your church, through faith, hope, and charity. He goes on to say, is this the part of wise men engaged in a great and arduous struggle for liberty? They were already engaged in that when they came to America. Thousands died. It was hard. It was difficult. And they had to work together to do it. Are we disposed to be of the number of those who, having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not, the things which so nearly concern the temporal salvation? Temporal salvation? For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth and know the worst and provide for it. And that's all I'm saying, is know the worst and provide for it. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.